Are you tired of the endless supply of terrible storytelling? Of uninspiring, nihilistic stories that permeate most of modern-day entertainment? Are you tired of the diversity, equality, and inclusion standards that are forced upon movie creators and actors? Well, so are we. So go with us on a journey as we chronicle for you the latest news in entertainment, as we discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the film industry, and as we pave a way forward to see the kingdom of Christ grow and the dragon of secularism meet its end. Now, if you want to support us in our mission, please head over to patreon.com/thePowell Bros, or follow the link in the show notes. There, you will gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both Movie Chronicles and Movie Reviews. Now, on with the show.
Welcome back to the Powell Bros Movie Chronicles, Movie Chronicles with the Powell Bros. We are here yet again, and yeah, I'm one of your hosts, Tobias Powell, joined with your other host, Trent. Trent, how you doing?
Doing great. Happy to be here. Another day, a new setup. Looking a little nicer, though you a lot more nicer than I am. Should have put a suit on. Maybe next week.
Yeah, next week.
But new and improved. We're evolving. We're maturing. We're growing. Something like that.
For sure.
This is Movie Chronicles. Yep. My favorite. It's fun time. We just got done doing our wives episode last week. Now we're back at it with another episode. Still in the Christmas season. This will still be out before Christmas, and still Christmassy things to reflect upon. I just got done watching Home Alone 2 last night. Dude, Home Alone 2 is just incredible. I know it rehashes a lot of the first movie, but it just captures the same magic, and I think it's really good. So, anyways.
Yeah, for sure. Stuff. Yep.
So what,
good movie with Donald Trump.
And got Donald Trump. And Rob Schneider is in it as well. And he shows up literally in the exact same scene, like right after Donald Trump shows up. It was like, hey, you are a Trump supporter, and people don't like you, but I like you. You and all your shortness.
That's funny.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Rob Schneider, he's funny.
Yeah.
So, Tobias, what do we got to talk about today? We have a lot, actually.
Yeah, I got a few things. I guess in the Christmas spirit, did you see the little promo video of Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool? Ryan Reynolds and Kid.
Yeah, for like that charity.
For the charity, yeah.
I saw that. Yeah, that was
fun.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Deadpool Santa.
Yep.
It's fun that he like wraps himself up in that character so much. Like he'll do stuff like that, make videos, make promotional stuff for the character as the character. And it's just like, he's Deadpool now. That's who he is.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, what have you seen going on?
Well, I guess we can't keep it in the Christmas season. Actually, let me ask this. Is The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, is that a Christmas movie? What do you say?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Most people don't consider it a Christmas movie, but it came out during Christmas. It's set in winter. But it's also technically set in Christmas because, you know, the whole point of the movie is always winter, never Christmas. And then when Aslan comes, when he rebirths, brings new life to Narnia, then Christmas comes. So it's like it's leading up to that, even like the ending of the eternal winter and the coming of Christmas, the coming of the celebration of new life, of Christ's birth. And then Santa Claus, Father Christmas, literally shows up. So I was like, I mean, it's totally a Christmas movie. So but anyways, Tobias, sure. Have you heard the news, or have you heard the not rumors? No, the creator of the show and her take on how Netflix is going to adapt the Narnia series. Have you heard her comments?
Oh, no.
Oh, Tobias, you're in for a treat. We need to, like, have, like, we just need to start working on getting segments and, like, having sound bits for our segments, because this is my, this is Trent's rants segment, because I'm just going to rant.
Yeah.
Because this is another franchise that they're touching that they should not touch and they're going to ruin. So basically,
yeah.
Okay. How do I put this? Greta Gerwig, the lady who directed Barbie. Her first name's Greta. Mm-hmm. We'll call her Greta. Okay. She is being tasked with, with directing, I think writing, producing the Narnia, the full Narnia series on Netflix. First off, Netflix shouldn't touch Narnia. C.S. Lewis is sacred. Don't touch him unless you know what you're doing. Even Disney, New Line Cinema kind of didn't. I mean, it was the first one was fine. The other two not so great, and the third one wasn't even Disney. But anyways, so Netflix shouldn't be touching this in the first place, but they are. They got the rights to it. They're going to start with The Magician's Nephew in the first one, which makes sense. The problem is Greta, she has decided that this is going to be a new take on Narnia. Okay? When describing the show, it's a new take. It's a new perspective, new look on it. And then guess what she's adding to it, which doesn't make a lick of sense, but she says it's going to be about rock and roll.
What?
It's going to be a rock and roll.
What does that even mean?
I don't know what that means, but all I do know is that it is a new take for modern audiences. It's a re-examination, interpretation of Narnia, that which is already a problem. Like, no, you don't give a new take. You just treat the source material with the respect that it's due. You treat C.S. Lewis with the respect he's due. Not give it a new take and then rock and roll. First off, the Magician's Nephew takes place in like early 1900s. Okay, rock and roll wasn't a thing. So what are you doing? Are you gonna like set it in like? They set the first movie in like the 60s and then the other movies in like the 90s, 80s. Like, what are you doing?
Probably
not 80s and 90s or whatever century or whatever decade it was. It would be. I don't even know. I don't care. This is retarded. Stop. No. Why? You know what's going to happen is that in The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, the new take on the White Witch is that she's misunderstood. She's a sympathetic villain. You don't know what made her the villain. You don't know why she does the things she does. But let's look at her backstory. Let's add some flashbacks. Let's focus on her character so that we understand her and we can sympathize with her more. And so we understand why she did the thing that she did to the Pevensies and why she did Eternal Winter. Why she took away Narnia from the patriarch Aslan, who's going to be a transgender lion, you know. and then I don't know, who knows what they're gonna do with the Pevensey children. I know they're not gonna all be white. And
yeah,
dude, I don't know. Mr. Tumnus is gonna be black, I can tell you that. That's for sure. He'd be kidnapping those children.
Yeah. That's
stop
insane.
Just stop. Stop with Lord of the Rings. We're talking the other bastardization of a franchise. Warner Bros. Has done it again with War of the Rohirrim. I've heard it's awful. I'm not going to see it. I don't care. I don't want it. Stop. Narnia, don't touch it. Netflix, don't touch it. Why do you need to touch it? Why do you touch it? Don't do it. Anyways, I'm done. What do you think about it, Tobias?
Yeah.
Should they have a new take? Should we have a new take on Narnia?
No. No, that's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know what Netflix is thinking. I mean, they're just trying to make money, I guess. They don't really care about any of the source material. They don't care about C.S. Lewis and what he did. They just want to put their own agendas and viewpoints in these great pieces of literature and works of art and just ruin them.
Which hasn't proven to make money. That's the thing. Is like, you guys want to make money, treat the source material with respect. Rightly adapt the source material that you have been given the rights to, that you have the privilege of adapting in this modern mode of entertainment. Do it right. Don't add any of your pizzazz. Don't sprinkle in whatever all your agendas. Just treat it with the respect that it's due. Adapt it how it was written and the purpose it was written, with the worldview that that the creator of this product, of this world, had. And even if you don't share his worldview, at least respect his worldview and allow that to inform how you create this fantasy world.
Yeah. I don't know. I do see something. It supposedly is going to be in theaters.
The Narnia show?
Yeah. No, it's a movie.
No. It's a TV show on Netflix. They're doing like the season.
All these articles call it a movie.
That doesn't make any. I mean, are they doing like 7 movies on Netflix? Maybe that's what they're doing.
Yeah, probably.
Huh.
Yeah, every single, like, Screen Rant, Yahoo, Joe Blow on MSN, all these articles say movie.
At least, okay.
I think they're gonna be movies.
Well, at least we don't have a whole seasons to watch the dumpster fire. Like, Rings of Power.
But that would be interesting if it actually was in theaters. It'd be Netflix's first thing to be in theaters.
Huh.
I believe. I could be wrong.
I feel like they've done that, but I can't think of it. So interesting.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that has, but I could be wrong. Yeah. No, that's crazy. I don't know. It's just ridiculous. It's kind of annoying.
That's the thing, is like the whole fantasy genre is just dying in general. You don't have the Lewis's and Tolkien's in this day and age. You know, you have George R. R. Martin, who was somewhat inspired by Tolkien but also hated Tolkien. Well, not hated Tolkien, that's not fair. He didn't like the morality of Middle Earth, I guess you should say. And that's why he created a moral-less world that is incredibly popular, and he's made millions and millions of dollars off of because of Game of Thrones. But like, you know, as far as Game of Thrones, there are fantasy authors out there, but the ones that are selling, like you go to like Walmart or Target, you look on the, or Barnes & Noble, you look on the fantasy section, what books do you see? Well, you pretty much just see the Sarah J. Maas writer, who I don't know if you know anything about her. Like, she's written a series like The Court of Something. I was going to say The Court of Owls. That's Batman. The Court of Something. And it's like a whole series of books. And this is like, it's all fantasy. However, it's really just porn fantasy. It's filled with sex. It's basically they have a term for it, like pornocy or whatever dumb thing they have for it. And it's like an actual like genre of like where there are multiple authors in this genre that are writing these books that are the best sellers and that are the most popular, for women. I mean, it is all for women. But that's the thing, is like fantasy novels are being written for women now. It used to be a guy thing. It used to be men that loved fantasy, that enjoyed it, that loved this escapism, but this exploring of a new world and the reason why men probably aren't that, it's not people, fantasy writers aren't writing for men is because, or well, it's all just like a circle problem where like they don't write it for men and therefore men don't read it. And they're like, oh, well, men don't read fantasy anymore, so we're not going to write for them. But it's because you guys aren't delivering product for men that is good and that is worth reading and is worth exploring that they enjoy. You're appealing to women. Mm-hmm. You're making sex fantasy. No one wants that. Some weird women, yeah. Creepy women, cat ladies, maybe, I don't know, whatever, want it, but not men.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, the biggest difference, I think, and issue is that, well, back then, like, you had to be a professor, a well-renowned person, a very wise person to be able to even write books and publish books. Yeah. Now you can be Joe Blow from nowhere, and you can get your book published pretty easily. Like, it doesn't take that much to get a book published. Right. And so you have also just an over flooding of just all these different writers and stuff. So it's like, even some of the good stuff that is out there, it's not going to get discovered as well and be as popular as something like Tolkien. It just can't happen in our world. Right. And I think that's also very similar with movies. We're just in a oversaturated state with just how easy content can get made and spread through the internet or whatever. And it's totally. Like, it's becoming a place where it's the credibility for a lot of these things, it's very low, and the standards are very high for good content, and we're just not getting that much because of that. I think of like someone like for writers like N.D. Wilson, he'd probably be the closest person to as good of a writer as Tolkien and Lewis were back in the day. But it's like, he's pretty successful in his writings.
Definitely.
But not like at the level of Tolkien and Lewis, because there's, how is anybody going to find him? Like, there's just so many things to, like, go to a library, go to a bookstore, there's so many options. It's like picking a needle out of a haystack.
Yeah,
it's just you're just not likely to get picked to be, it's not like everybody's going to pick your book because there's so many options. Like, when there's that many options, it's just not going to happen. And it's the same thing with movies. When there's so many movies, it's like, well, so many independent, small movies, it's like, well, we have all these movies to choose from. You know, what's the likelihood I'm going to choose to watch your movie and enjoy it, and or the likelihood of your movie becoming something big with the amount of options there are?
Mm-hmm. Right. And with N.D. Wilson, like, one big reason is that he's not bigger than he is because the big publishers don't want to publish him because he's a Christian and because he doesn't meet all their DEI standards and criterias.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing with a lot of, you know, that's where it's kind of, well, it's different within film because indie creators do have an opportunity to fill that space that Hollywood is not filling with mm-hmm. original creative content that is not bogged down by all these initiatives and agendas and requirements. Creators have the freedom to create that, and it's still with writing. Yes, it's there. Yeah. It's just hard to get out there if you're not part of one of the big publishers.
Yeah. Also, yeah, I think also it's much more likely as well with movies because of the fact that there's a lot more people in the world that watch movies than read books.
True. Yeah.
And it's becoming more and more like that just because of the state of the world and how we are right now. Very lazy and if like you made like a phenomenal movie and the word started to spread, it could spread like a wildfire pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody watch this movie. But it's like, if everybody's like, hey, read this book, a lot of people aren't going to even read it or bother.
Fair.
A movie, you can just sit down and watch it for a couple hours and, oh, cool. Yeah, I liked it. I will tell someone about it.
And like this is a space that I want to get into as far as fantasy writing, and like recognizing that it's very unlikely I could ever write a successful book. But I mean, I've I've been wanting to write a fantasy novel since I was like 8 or 9 for like 20 years. I have a world. I have a lot that I've put into that world and I've built. It's just as far as writing it, I've not, and to my regret, and it's still something that I want to get into. And then that's one space that I could fill. Maybe that's something I can be successful in. I just have to do it. And life's kind of put that in the back seat. I don't know that I think there's definitely an opportunity there, just as we're seeking to create content. Like, maybe that's some content to create in one area. This is as I was thinking about this week. It's like, okay, you got Netflix messing with Narnia. It's like, okay, well, where is the big fantasy franchise? Why is it they have to pull from C.S. Lewis and Tolkien? Like, that's the thing. The biggest, most popular IPs are stuff like Tolkien, Lord of the Rings, and Narnia. Even like you go back to Star Wars, I would put like George Lucas in that similar range because he made those first 6 films, or if you want to just say the first 3 films, and now they're trying to pick from it and trying to do their own thing and create their own content from their worldview and their own perspective. It's a new take on Star Wars, everything that's come out in the last 10 years. Now new take on Lord of the Rings with War of the Rohirrim and Rings of Power, 2 different studios creating 2 garbage products, pulling from lore, the lore of Tolkien, and bastardizing it. And now they're doing it, and now Netflix is doing it with C.S. Lewis. It's just like, why do you have to keep doing that to these franchises? Like, pick something new. And what's funny with J.R. Martin, he, I don't know if you know this, but like, it's been, I think, 13 years since he's said he was going to finish the last book in Game of Thrones. So he's been like all his fans are like really mad about it because he's been putting it off for like 13 years. He has 1 book left to finish the whole series. And the reason that he won't, most likely, is because he knows that he would have to give it a good ending. And he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to have a good ending because that would subvert everything that he's set up and in the world that he's built, where there are no good endings. Morality is gray. It's all nihilism. Bad guys win in the end. Good doesn't triumph over evil, and so forth. So,
yeah,
he'll probably never finish it. And
no.
Who cares? I don't care. I mean, people do care.
Yeah.
I don't. But
yeah.
But then there's like that aspect of physical media where you're going back to what you're saying about how people don't read books anymore. Like, yeah, but they do buy books. Like, book sales are still like a big deal. Like I think we'd be surprised to look and see like how well like good books or like popular books like New York Times bestseller books, how well they sell. Mm-hmm. It's like millions and millions of copies. And, Barnes & Noble, unlike Blockbuster, has not gone out of business. I don't know. I'm surprised that Barnes & Noble and companies like them have not gone out of business, but they haven't. And because I think people do still read, or they love the physical media. Mm-hmm. We're going back to physical media. You go to Barnes & Noble, they have vinyls. Mm-hmm. They have, and they have toys now. And obviously the books, and then they have some movies, I think, as well. But like basically, it's that desire for physical media, physical copies. Like ebooks are a thing, like Kindles and stuff. But for me, like I'd much rather just have a physical copy of a book. I literally just bought the rest of the Dune franchise physical copies. And I'm reading through them, and I love just having the whole series. I could get the audiobook, sure. I get the ebook, but no, I have the physical copy, and I love that. So, anyways, speaking of physical media, there was a trailer that came out this past week. Tobiah, 28 years later.
Yeah, 28 years later. Shot on iPhone 15.
Yes, iPhone 15.
iPhone 15 Pro, I think it was.
Old movie.
And which is actually great because if you've seen the first movie, they purposely gave it like a certain, almost lower quality to give it a a very special feel to the world that they were building. And so I think the iPhone and what the kind of look it gives is perfect for like for this movie. And I think it's great. But yeah, the trailer came out. It looks good. I'm excited for it. Dude,
the trailer was awesome. Yeah. Like, that's how you do a trailer. There was no dialogue in the whole thing. You had that. Wasn't even. It was like music. Apparently, it was a reciting of a poem that, they like, you would used to recite to like soldiers that were. Going through, training. I don't know. I read it somewhere, but it was a poem that was being read, and the music builds up, and the poem gets a little more intense throughout the trailer, and it gets more and more intense until the end, and it's like. Dude, I like this. We're really good.
And then, so the second this trailer came out, everybody's like, oh, I want to go watch 28 Days Later. And they're like, but, wait a minute. I can't watch this anywhere.
Where is it?
There is nowhere. It's not on any streaming services because Disney lost the rights to it to Sony. They have the rights to 28 Weeks Later, which is why 28 Weeks Later is on Disney Plus. But they lost the rights to 28 Days Later to Sony, and Sony has it and has not released it at all. They haven't done any continued DVD releases, and it's not on any streaming platforms. I did see, though, that they are planning to put it on some streaming platforms, and Sony's going to start releasing it and get it out there, probably do a DVD release. It kind of seems like a Blu-ray release is unlikely just because of the way, like I was saying earlier, the way this movie was made, it was made purposely with a lower quality. Right. So it wouldn't really transfer to Blu-ray, but they'll probably put it on. It just won't actually be any higher quality. But the issue is it could diminish the quality and make it actually worse or just look weird.
Yeah,
trying to make it look better, but yeah, they everybody started trying to find DVDs for it and buy it, and all the DVDs are very expensive, hundreds of dollars. You can find some imports for cheaper. Good luck if it's in your language. it's everybody's digging around in their closets to try to find their copies of 28 Days Later and get it sold because everybody is trying to get a copy.
That's wild.
And yeah, it's pretty funny.
That sure is. Man, that'd be interesting to see what happens. They're definitely going to release it somewhere. They're going to capitalize on it and get people excited for this third movie. I don't know if you heard, but apparently it's the start of a new trilogy. So they filmed this one and then the next one back to back. I don't know if they filmed it the second one the same way, like with iPhone. They probably did, but however, for some reason, the second one is directed by the lady who directed the Marvels. So they switched directors for both of them for whatever reason, even though they filmed them back to back. And then they hired the lady who directed the complete dumpster fire bomb of a movie, Marvels. Okay. Whatever. We'll see how good this one is. It'll be fun. Good.
Yeah, we'll probably just end with 28 Years Later, call it a good trilogy, and be out.
Let's do that. Sounds like a good idea.
We got 28 days, 28 weeks, and 28 years later. That's it. Done.
Wait for the prequel. End of day. 28 months. Midquel. Is that what they call it? I don't know. Maybe second to third.
Something like that.
Anyways. So the Sony universe is dead. Speaking of zombies.
Yeah, I know. Craven is not looking like it's going to be any good.
Well, you'll see it in a little bit. I laugh, man. Each time I'm like, maybe this one will be good. Maybe this will be it. Maybe this will just stand out, even if it's not going to build to a greater franchise. Maybe this is going to be a good one. And it's just, I'm let down every time. I know I'm going to be let down on this one. I'm going to go and try to have fun.
Yeah.
See some some guys beating each other up.
I don't know.
I'm curious to see what they do with Russell Crowe.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I like Aaron Taylor Johnson. Like, he does some good stuff. Like the Godzilla movie, not a great movie, but he was good in it. He was good Quicksilver. He's gonna be in 28 Years Later. I don't know. Like, he's a good actor. I just feel like Fall Guy. He was great in Fall Guy.
Yeah, Bullet Train.
Yeah, Bullet Train. So I don't know, man.
He's a good actor. I like him and a lot of stuff he's in.
Are you going to see Craven?
It's fun. Yeah, I have tickets for Tuesday. Okay. Yep.
Well, I won't spoil it, but when I see it. But yeah. But yeah, so, they announced that the Sony universe is dead. Before Craven even comes out, they're just like, yeah, we're done.
Yeah, this is our last movie.
Little hope they have in this movie.
It's so crazy. The potential they had, it's just sad.
It's the second Spider-Man franchise that they've killed. They started up, they built, and they had a lot of potential that died. Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2. They set up for the Sinister Six and had all these villains and all these plans going forward. And then they killed it, sold it the rights to Marvel. And then they're like, okay, well, let's create these villains. I hope someday we there's a documentary or there's something that, first off, documents all that's gone on behind the scenes, but just tells us why they did what they did. What was the plan? Why was there no Spider-Man? Yeah. Was it actual legal reasons, contractual problems? Like, just be open and honest. Like, why did everything happen the way it did? What were you thinking? From Morbius, the Venom movies, they kind of make sense, but Morbius, Madame Web, and this one, and then all the other rumors that they had, it just, the ones they were going to come out, I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy that, I mean, there's so much, like, if they could have had Spider-Man, like, I think it would have been much more successful. I mean, we already know they have access to spider people. Like, with Madame Web, like, there's 3-4 Spider-Man spider people, it's like, why couldn't you make one of them a main? So yeah, I don't know. I think it's just they're just dumb.
It's a villain universe with no hero.
Yeah. So
where were they
it's
going?
It's like obvious, like that's why it doesn't work. Yeah.
What was the plan?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
He's dead. We will say our goodbyes. Good riddance. I'll watch Craven. Hopefully have fun. And we'll go from there. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder if they're just going to give all this to Disney. Like, are they just going to sell the rights to Spider-Man and everything and just give it all away?
That's the thing. Is like they have rights to, they have the rights to all these characters. It's like the first Venom movie made $800 million. Okay. Like, it was successful on like a $90 million budget. It was successful. And they're like, okay, let's capitalize. Let's go all in. Let's do more of these. So they do another Venom. They do them. And they do Morbius, and it made like $100 million. And then Madame Web, which barely made $100 million. And Venom 2, which did a little bit, did okay. Venom 3, not super great. Or maybe did great. I can't remember now. And now it's just, how many movies in? Five? Three? Six? This is the sixth movie, I think? Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's dead. And now what are you going to do with all these characters? Yeah. You had freaking Michael Keaton's Vulture from Homecoming show up in Morbius. What were you doing? You sent Eddie Brock's Venom to the MCU for a post-credit scene and then brought him back with no consequences or ramifications or story. It's like, okay.
It's crazy. I can't believe that they did three movies this year, though.
Oh, yeah. What in the world? They...
Three of them were this year. That's three of their six were this year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Whatever. That's strange.
Well, it's because Kraven got pushed back an entire year. It was supposed to come out a year ago.
I was like, man, wasn't this supposed to come out a while ago? Yeah, that got pushed back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They pushed back an entire year because they were doing reshoots. Because everybody hated the trailer.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's odd.
Yeah.
Could this movie be that bad? It has a... So bad. Got a four, like, it debuted with a 13% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's up to 16 right now. Okay. I don't know. I had high hopes for Morbius... And I was extremely let down. I saw it once, never saw it again. Probably never will. I might. Actually, I probably would. Actually, I think I will go back and watch Morbius.
We need to go back and watch all of them.
Yeah, go back and watch all of them. After all this dust settled. After, you know, now that it's dead. It's like, okay, what do we got here? Is there anything that could be fun? I don't know. Let's watch it. This one. Kraven's one of my favorite Spider-Man villains. Said this before.
It's got 13%.
It's down to 13. Now. It was at 16 earlier, so now it's 13. Yeah. People are not liking this movie.
They're saying it's
but
awful.
They don't like any. They haven't liked any of them except for no. Even the first Venom had bad critic score.
Is 54. I think. Yeah.
So it's like that critically. That like I don't. I mean, it's fine. I don't really care. Like there are movies that I like that critics don't, and that's fine.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know, whatever. I'm just time to close. It's closing time on this franchise. It had a good run. Had a good 5, 6, I don't know, years. Never got a Spider-Man. Never brought in Andrew Garfield like I had hoped. And we say goodbye. That's it.
Well, yeah. I mean, Morbius blows my mind because they had so many teases for Spider-Man. Yeah. And then last minute, they took it all out and nothing. Not a single Spider-Man reference.
I want to know, what were the plans? Like, you had a poster of Spider-Man in the trailer.
I know.
And
and Oscorp and everything. Yeah. It's like...
Andrew Garfield's Oscorp, right?
Yeah.
What in the world?
So crazy.
So,
how bad they ruined this.
I'm just glad we don't talk about it anymore. I'll talk about Kraven next week after I see it, but it'll probably be brief and just be like, yeah, you know, it's just whatever. It's a non-consequential. Another movie.
Yeah.
That leads to nothing.
For sure. Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. War of the Rohirrim comes out tonight as well. Yeah.
I'm going to walk over to the theater, and I'm not going to walk in to see a Lord of the Rings movie in theaters. Can you believe that? I have the Tree of freaking Gondor on my wall. I have Sting right here.
I know. I have all the movies right up there.
I have all the books right here. Okay. I don't know, man. One of my favorite franchises, and I'm not going to go see it because
We didn't really talk about it. There's an article, I think, that you sent me, or as a review, right?
Nerdrotic's review.
Talking about it.
Yeah, Nerdrotic review gave his review because he got to see it early, like a week early, and so yeah, he tore it apart. it's bad. Not as bad as Rings of Power, but bad. But even from a production, like a cinematic perspective, they had like 60 different companies working on the animation because they rushed this to get it out. It had something to do with, well, Amazon and Warner Bros. Are like have been like fighting over the rights of Lord of the Rings, and Rings of Power releases or Amazon releases Rings of Power, and you know they have all the hype around Lord of the Rings, and now Warner Bros. Is like, well, we got to get something out. So apparently they rushed this project and got like 60 different animating companies to come in and work on this. And apparently throughout the movie, the animation is really inconsistent to where like some scenes don't look the same as others, or like the animation's not the same. And or like the animation just like, it just looks different. It just changes, and it's unfinished in some places and inconsistent and just doesn't look that great. And they of course try to include all the, you know, recognizable music from the score from Peter Jackson's films, and it just takes you out of it because you know this isn't Peter. Mm-hmm. It is executive produced by Peter Jackson, but it's not Peter Jackson. And even if Peter Jackson said, "Yeah, I love this. I give full approval of this." Like, whatever. I don't necessarily trust him anyway. Especially after The Hobbit, and he still took a lot of creative controls with a lot of creative choices with Tolkien's lore that I'm not even super fond of. Conversation for another day. But whatever. It's over. It's dumb that they made the choices that they made for this project. They took a character that wasn't even named in Tolkien's lore and said, yeah, we're going to make this entire time period revolve around her. And it's so funny. They make it very clear throughout the movie that she doesn't want to be married. She says, I will marry no man. I have no desire for marriage. I'm never going to get married. And then she runs off with another woman at the end. They don't say that she's a lesbian or anything, but they pretty much make it, you know, leaves enough up to the imagination. You're like, yeah, like she's definitely gay and is better. She's better than all the men. She's better than her brothers. She's better than her father. She has to, save her father at one point. And of course it's, she's always telling men what to do, but they don't listen, and then they face the consequences of not listening to her, because she knows best, because she's smart, she doesn't have any flaws, doesn't make any mistakes. She does make some mistakes in the film, but she has real consequences. But for the most part, it's just she has to one up everyone. She beats Wolf and a one-on-one combat in the end and kills him, besting him in a sword fight. No, she would not have won that.
That's so bad.
And that didn't happen in Tolkien's Lord of the Rings anyway, so stop it.
Yeah. I don't know. Terrible. It had so much potential. It could have been so awesome. But yeah.
Do you know what Warhammer 40K is?
No.
So Warhammer 40K is, and I'm with my limited knowledge, I mean, there are video games of it, but it's kind of like a role playing game, but like you get to create your own characters, and like it's set like way in the future where you have these big automaton like these robot suits that people fight in to fight off the aliens and so forth. And it's a whole, there's a huge universe, a bunch of lore behind it. It's very popular, very well known. The biggest thing is like, you get to like paint your own figures and create your own characters, and that's one reason why people like it. And you know, role play and do the game and play the game with other people. I can't remember what studio is doing it, but I think it's Amazon. They're making a Warhammer 40K movie that almost was canceled because they've been trying to get Henry Cavill to star in it. Henry Cavill is a huge Warhammer guy. He plays it. He loves it. It's a big deal to him. And he has finally signed on, because there was rumors about him doing. He signed on to produce and star in a Warhammer. Either I can't remember if it's a TV show or movie, but a Warhammer project. And so that would just be really interesting. It's a pretty big deal. Sorry for my limited knowledge on it, but I mean, I'm curious and interested. It's cool
for sure.
And because Henry Cavill's a fan, that's probably why I bring it up. It's like he cares about this IP, he cares about this universe, and he wants to do it justice. And now he's given the lead role in it, but also some creative control over what happens. You know, and actually, yeah, that's exactly like the reason that he got canceled from the Witcher show is because, or he got fired or let go, or he left, or whatever happened, is because he was always, telling people, no, this is how it needs to be. This is how it should be. This is more accurate to the lore. This is like he cared about the lore, he cared about the characters, and that's who he is. You know, and he's a nerd. He loves comic books, and he loves Warhammer. So it's gonna be really cool to see where that project goes, and it could be something worth.
That's why I still think that Zack Snyder's trilogy is one of the best superhero adaptations ever. Anyway,
I didn't know that you thought that.
It is, yeah, it's awesome.
Like,
I love that trilogy.
I mean, I knew
Watch Man of Steel, watch Batman versus Superman Ultimate Cut. We will have a debate
about this another day.
Three best superhero movies ever.
I disagree in so many ways. So Justice good. League is all well. Okay, Snyder Cut, but okay, you can't get me into this. Okay, to finish us off, we'll fight about that another day. top five movies that you saw this year that are new movies. Did you make a list? Okay,
yeah, I did.
Top five movies that came out this year that you saw, either in theaters, even streaming, or after it came out in DVD on. DVD streaming, whatever, that came out in 2024, as we're nearing the end of the year. I think next week we could do it like looking forward, like, hey, what are we looking forward to next year? But this year, week, let's finish this off. This year of 2024, what's your favorite movies?
One of the problems is that I feel like there's a lot of movies that I didn't see that I wanted to see that I still am going to see. I just haven't gotten around it. But because I forgot I was going to try to find a fifth movie, but I didn't. And so I have four. Because there's a lot that I watched that I was like, meh, whatever. So my top one would be Heretic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely Heretic's my favorite so far this year. And then I would say Dune Part 2.
So I was going to put Dune Part 2 on there, but that actually technically came out last year, but that's okay. Or like it came out in December, I think, but that's okay. I mean, it's theatrical run went way into 24 and you did see it in 24.
I think so, I did see it in 24.
Know,
yeah.
That's
I
fine.
Think it
was January, you know, I'll put it on my list as well. So Dune Part 2.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And then, If.
Okay. Okay. That's great. Did you do a review of If? I gotta listen to that. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, good.
Yeah. And then Snack Shack.
Oh, yeah. haven't seen that one yet.
And that's my four. If I had to put another one, I would say maybe Deadpool and Wolverine or I mean, none of the other ones that I saw were any, like, right. I just didn't like any of them. One that I obviously want to watch that you've highly talked about is The Wild Robot.
Yes.
I haven't seen that yet, which I'm sure is on your list.
It is.
But I have not gotten to seeing it yet because it's in, I think it's in limbo right now.
Probably.
Because I don't. I could probably pay to like $20 to watch on a streaming service, but I'm not going to do that.
Do it. It's worth it. Just getting done to that.
I couldn't find anything else that I'd seen that was worth putting on a list.
And those are like, I haven't seen Candy Shack, Shake Shack,
Snack Shack.
I haven't seen that one. I'll have to watch it. But the other ones, those just great. Well, if was okay. But the other ones, good movies. But anyways.
It was really good. I don't know what your problem was.
Maybe I should watch it again. I probably set my expectations too high on it, and it's like it wasn't terrible. It was fine. It was good. It was fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, mine.
Beetlejuice 2 was kind of fun. Was good. I guess maybe that could be my fifth. Yeah. I'd probably put that above Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
I saw
more movies, like new movies this year than I ever have. And thanks to Regal's Unlimited Pass, which is awesome. But they're not the very few times that I walk out of the theater like, man, that was such a good movie. If we're going to include Dune Part 2 is definitely one of those. Long Legs with Nicolas Cage, horror movie, wasn't great, but what?
It just seems like such a weird movie.
No.
I haven't been able to get myself to watch it yet.
It's not, do you, like, when I say Long Legs, are you thinking of, like, Daddy Long Legs spider thing?
No, I'm just thinking of a really weird guy with long legs.
No, well, kind of, but not okay. No, no, it's not what you think. You need to watch it. You and Maribel need to watch it. And we need to unpack. I want to see it again because there's a lot of elements of it I want to unpack. But anyways, Long Legs. I mean, another Nicolas Cage movie that I did like enjoy. It wasn't great. Was Arcadia. Another kind of horror movie. It's like a lot of horror movies because like I feel like these, but like it's funny is like the indie films were the ones that I enjoyed the most. Long Legs. What did I just say? Arcadia. But if we're also going to, beside that, Heretic as well. That's on my list. Mm-hmm. Very well done. Good horror movie. Yeah. Good. It creates a great discussion around it and whatnot. And then Wild Robot. I think Wild Robot was my favorite movie this year. It just was stunning, incredible, one of my favorite animated movies of all time now. Very inspiring, great story. It's just an incredible movie. I think that's five. So I'd maybe put Deadpool and Wolverine, but maybe not. I don't know. Beetlejuice is fine. Other than that, it's like there's not very many other movies that I watched. I walked out of the theater. I was like, man, that was just a good movie. Gladiator 2, definitely not on that list. Wicked, definitely not on that list. I'm trying to even think of other movies that I saw, but that's pretty much it. So.
Yeah.
Kind of a bust of a year, but some good ones, some really good movies at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. That's happy with that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So.
Yep.
There we go. I think it's about time to close this out.
Yeah.
Do that.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening to another episode. If you're on YouTube, please like, comment, and subscribe. If you're listening on podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. That helps so much with the algorithm. So please consider doing mm-hmm. that. And just thank you guys so much for all your support. Thanks for listening. Be discerning. Careful what you watch. Enjoy what you watch when it's good, beautiful, and true. And glorify God and watch good movies. We thank you all. Mm-hmm. See you next week. This is Movie Chronicles. This is the Powell Bros. And we are out.
See ya. Bye.